This is a conversation with Stephanie Stokin, Vice President of AI Data Services at Qualitest, where she leads the global AI data practice. With experience from the Wall Street Journal to Appian, she's helped Fortune 500 companies implement AI with a focus on expert validation and human-in-the-loop systems. I loved how she highlights the evolving balance between human expertise and AI autonomy, as we explore how that role is changing in the era of generative and agentic systems.
Great. Very nice to meet you, Stephanie. Thanks for joining Humans and AI podcast. So yeah, let's get into it. I've been checking a little bit your background for what I the information that I could have, which was basically your social media part. But I would like to listen from you. What's a personal story that led you from consulting to running AI data services?
Yes. So I actually started out at the Wall Street Journal, big news person. I then transitioned into consulting and was in MarTech stack, basically helping major Fortune 500 companies take decentralized creative teams into centralized divisions. So it was definitely outside of traditional like software as a service, technology, IT. And I got a call one day because I have had such deep relationships within the Big Five, some of these major retail companies that are changing the game for the way that we live. And they're like, we want you to come over to this AI company and service our largest accounts based off of the success that you've had in your consulting career. And I'm like, AI, I never really thought about that's where my career was going to go. But these people were salespeople, essentially. They were selling me in on the future. This is the future. Once you go here, you're not going back, which essentially became to be true. So I came over to a company named Appen and had a wonderful experience leading major global account strategic relationships there and getting in on the forefront of what AI was then. So we're like talking 2020, 2021 timeframe, where search relevance was the big thing of what we were looking at, task-based, human in the loop, validating search results. And it was so interesting to just be there, a lot of NLP, talk to text. I was able to be a part of some really early on projects where we got the prototypes, was it released to the market? And we did a lot of testing and development for what that speech technology would be for the future. So getting in early on that side of things and being able to be a part of that development had me sold and basically said, I'm here to stay. Data quality is everything of what AI is driven off of. And I guess it's led me to stay in the industry. And now here I'm at Qualitest. I lead our AI data services practice and we run globally across the world doing AI work, mostly generative AI work now, for still the big tech and Fortune 500 companies.
Yeah, your work as a VP in Qualitest is basically testing the quality of the AI data services. That's what I understood for what you do. Since you've been working in other companies as well, and you already been in the beginning of the beginning. I don't really know when it was the real beginning of AI, because now AI is in everyone's life. Even my mom's using AI, so it's kind of, and she's like in her 60s. So kind of like everybody using AI. Yeah. She used AI kind of GPT is kind of things, the basic level of AI. So yeah. So being yourself, like being one of them, the person who's been there from the beginning. So how do you see the evolution of AI from the beginning and this hype of these sellers trying to hook you in this company to work with them? And how do you see it now in 2025, which is a revolution? Like I don't think it's a hype anymore. I think it's just in our daily lives.
So I remember vividly being in the room with a number of executives from a large top technology company. And this is when ChatGPT 3 was coming, and then I think we were just on the release of ChatGPT 4. And I was talking with these leaders as they were looking at, okay, we are model builders. We are going to build models to compete against ChatGPT. And in the evaluation of that, it's like they were the leaders of technology then. And I was coming in as a side-by-side partner to them because they really didn't know like how generative AI is something that we don't have a lot of answers. We don't know how to measure quality. It was a big like unknown for a lot of people that I would say, I don't believe that I'm teaching you, but we were working together in partnership to truly build out what models are today. So you go from labeling, is this a cat in an image, to now like reasoning. We're utilizing experts in the loop, medical doctors, to basically help people like self-diagnose through ChatGPT of I'm having these symptoms, and we're having chain of thought reasoning, because you don't want to just be like, okay, I'm having these symptoms. You get a response from ChatGPT and you have cancer. And you're like, I have cancer, but you need to know the reasoning behind like what the response is from the model. And so we've gone through just utilizing ChatGPT as an example for a response and answers and maybe grammar editing some emails that we send, to now truly relying on them being like chain of thought reasoning with expertise that things that you can implement into your daily lives. We're getting into the role, like the age of agentic AI. And I know a lot of big tech is trying to, how do we make it easier for the consumer to act on their behalf with responsibility? Because a lot of people are scared. Is like, I don't know if I want an agent to act on my behalf. And so we're evolving into, how do we make agents safe? How do we regulate agents? And also looking forward into that super intelligence realm. I think the way that we got connected was at AI4. And at AI4, there was a fantastic keynote from Jeffrey Hinton and talking about super intelligence. And I see we went from traditional AI, generative AI, agentic AI. Now we're getting into physical AI and super intelligence. And all through these stepstones into the development of what AI will be, it's involved human in the loop. Human in the loop as the stopgap and the like true element of feeling safe about A, what the responses we're getting, the data quality. And then once we get to this like age of super intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton at AI4 was talking about super intelligence is going to outsmart humans. So human in the loop is then at threat. And I actually, I agree with him in some retrospect where he's okay, super intelligence will outsmart humans. Because I'll tell you, I put some things into GPT-4, 5, and I'm like, shoot, this is so much better of a writer than I am. And I'm happy with my results. But as we look at super intelligence and dealing with consumer robots and the thinking and the feeling and how they're going to be at that element, he noted in that keynote about we need to train super intelligence with that motherly instinct so that they don't kill us off. Because there's the element of threat of human in the loop to super intelligence that, okay, this is threatening my authority. But if we can implement that motherly instinct, you're caring for your baby. So you want the baby to be successful. And that's where human loop will not go away. We are going to be more important than ever instilling the values and the morals that we have personally and helping that evolve with as we go to AGI and some of the more behavioral type models and responses that we will get to in the future.
Great. Talking a little bit about human in the loop, which I also agree with you. I feel like you also said something that I saw, I think, yeah, this morning, that you say, when it comes to AI, quality isn't optional. It's everything. So I feel like, as you say, like AI is, it's the super intelligence, and AI, you can automate a lot of stuff and it's a very good quality. But I feel like humans need to supervise and bring that quality with AI. It's like a co-creation. So saying this, I would like to ask you, like, I also saw that you talk about building expert crowds.
Yes.
So would you like to, yeah, talk a little bit about this, and how do you train people to keep pace with Gen AI?
Yeah. So we've moved from like the HITL to the EITL because it really has moved from we started as a crowd-based model. And so you saw so many data services companies with crowds, and you got your Scales, you got your Appens with large crowd-based testers. For the way that models have developed, you can't just have a generalist be validating certain outputs and responses anymore, because we're getting into very niche sectors of legal and medical, where generative AI is being used for so many health developments. And with the expert in the loop shift, it's because of what our outputs are with the models. And we want to make sure that we're safe and being responsible with AI. And so you can no longer rely on that generalist network to that. Those were the days of, is there a cat in the image? And you said yes or no. Now we're really doing chain of thought reasoning. And when we get our responses, like example, I was trying to use ChatGPT to get a financial decision, and I got the number, but I needed to make sure that the number was accurate. So I needed to see the formula and how the model got me to that answer. And that's how the model reasoning element is so important. And you have to have that through someone who is of a certain expertise, because now we're relying on people to give us answers, much more complex answers. And we're starting to really trust these models and what they're telling us. And in that trust that we're gaining with the responses, I know model makers are on the utmost forefront of making sure accuracy, output, and model safety is key, because it's very key in pretty much everything that we're doing. All of those things from a validation standpoint and that expertise is so reliant on people with PhDs, doctors, lawyers, teachers, folks in finance. There's just such an element of how Gen AI has elevated and how we're utilizing it today. And one of the, I think, the best things that I've gotten from like the expert in the loop shift is we don't have necessarily that crowd element of like fraud, and because that was a huge element that we faced before. Now we have true validation systems, because we're checking degrees, we're checking certifications. So we, people that we are putting on this work, are who they say they are. They are validated in very many ways through assessments, so that when we come to check the work and have QA, we have true validation. This is how we can move forward, knowing that these people are validated to be doing this type of work. And therefore, we can make those medical advancements. There's so much conversation as doctors are really going to start being the human validators for what just is used in medicine. And they're going to be consistently, that AI is going to be a part of their job, and validation of certain outputs is going to be essential to the workflows that they use in their everyday practice.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like AI is going to be, it is already in every industry. Everything is kind of about AI in hospitality, AI in anything, like in every single company, it's kind of AI. Like, they're already embracing AI and adapting, because it's otherwise in the past. It's just, I feel like everything happens so fast.
And from a base, because I think about, oh, we're even going into like experts in the loop in the consumer base, because you're wanting recommendations on certain things from products that I am starting to play tennis, but I know nothing about tennis. So I actually want recommendations of what is the best tennis shoe, what's going to support my foot arch. And that requires experts in the loop, because it's just not your everyday person. Like they don't want me telling you what tennis shoe to purchase. It's these things that we're getting into, like very wide domain needs. And it actually has led us to a lot of really solid partnerships with universities. And I think the communities that we're building now, they are fruitful, they're valuable. There are some amazing networking groups out there that have provided tons of experts in the loop to contribute to these communities. But I think it's definitely a major shift from 3 years ago. What kept me up at night 3 years ago is how do we make the crowd feel inclusive? How do we get fair pay for the crowd? Now we're really worried about the fair pay issue. It's making sure that these communities thrive off of each other and really can build and just see the amount of work that is coming. And it is actually an additional income to their day job.
Yeah, definitely. So talking a little bit about experts on recommendation, which expert in the AI field, like it can be in your field, but more related with data development, but that you follow and you trust? Because when I ask this question many times, some guests ask me, oh yeah, this guy or everyone, you should follow as much as you can. But yeah, in my opinion, I feel like for me, at least, it's like, how can I trust? Like for me today, it's more about trust, because yeah, how can you trust someone? Like, okay, he or she is an expert in AI and is doing great, but it's doing great for themselves and their company, or they're doing great for the rest. And that's what you need to follow. So that's my question. Do you have any expert or any leader in AI that you follow that you as well trust, and why?
Yeah, I would say every day for an education base of how do I stay in the loop of what is going on is I am on LinkedIn. I'm connected to so many bright CEOs and professionals. I personally follow big tech closely. Peter Lee from Microsoft Research, Andy Jassy. I love seeing what is being produced out there. Sarah Hooker from Cohere. There's just so many things that I think I personally like to follow research, because I see tons of development. It helps me stay on the pulse of like where things are going. But in general, I'm actually a part of this group called AI Circle. And it also has brought such fruitful information. There's a gentleman who leads it, Albert Chun, and he is daily pumping out valuations and what's the next big thing. Jonathan Ives, I follow him. I saw his career switch recently from Apple. And I love seeing these things, because I'm like, ooh, these are powerful people that have shaped my world. Jonathan Ives with the iPhone and just the various things of how things are progressing. I'm in the loop to make sure that I'm not missing anything, because I'm like, if you're not first, you're last. And that's how I feel. And a lot of people in this shift, because you got the big tech, you got the model makers who have really been able to adopt Gen AI, implement and go forward. And now they're moving on to the AGI portion, agentic AI element. But then you're looking at enterprises right now. And that's where I see at Qualitas, we're really helping on the enterprise side look at how are we going to be successfully implementing Gen AI initiatives into your workflows, because the statistic is a very real thing going from pilot to production, and the rate of what actually goes to production. I think it, I something around like 80% of all pilots fail. Don't stat me on that for accuracy, but it's about what I feel from my pilot to production. I see a lot of things that we're really right now in the phase of helping enterprises look at how do we go from pilot to production. And on that, my key to all of it is data quality. As it definitely starts with the plan. You got to have leadership on board, and investment is real in AI. As we, anyone who's trying to do it, they probably know the investment that it takes, because it's not cheap. But yes, no, that is one, a couple things that as we're starting these engagements, and we are very heavy hitters on the data quality side, the human in the loop, we're helping models be safer, and that really big on responsible AI side, but really getting into helping enterprises and what they can do and what they can produce on the generative AI side to maintain with some of the regulations, compliance that goes with healthcare, that goes with finance and legal.
Nice. Thanks for sharing it, Stephanie. So you lead huge global teams across many projects. How do you keep everyone aligned on purpose and ethics? Yourself as a leader.
Yes. So I truly believe in servant leadership and operating as a unit. It's like a military thing, former military. So you got to operate as a unit. And if that unit is not together and aligned on a mission, then, you know, you have stragglers. There, it causes true casualties. So with these big global teams that we're employing, we at Qualitas, so we have quality in our name. So that goes far beyond just like what we're doing for our customer base. We're thinking about quality internally with our processes, with our communication. I have to give a big shout out to our new CEO, Andrew Duncan. He comes to us recently from Infosys, and he is a phenomenal leader, and he is right on the same page of just what we're doing internally as a quality, like unified unit, and operating as a unit for those customer success outcomes. I think, you know, when you get into managing hundreds of people, sometimes people feel so distant from the top. And I really appreciate this leadership because, you know, when the CEO is coming and making a tour to every office, and the inclusivity that he's a people person. I want to be in the trenches and understand our company. And same as me. If there's a problem, I want to be in the trenches with you. I'm not just going to point the finger, this is how we do it. We're all solving the problems together. And I think when you have leadership who gets with you down and dirty and wants to fight the fight, because I'll tell you, implementing on these large scale AI projects is not simple. It has so many moving parts. And we're just, as specifically at Qualitas, we have such an amazing team, such an amazing leadership team, such an amazing team of talent, that the average tenure of the folks that we have here is at least 4 to 5 years because of the success and the value that they feel within our company. And the promotional, the recognition goes pretty far. And the altruistic thought process in what are we solving for our customer, but what are we solving for the world? We're making AI safer. And being a parent, being a mother, I've gotten to work on conversational AI chatbots that, you know, my children, they don't know about some of these apps yet, but they might. And once they get to the point, I know that I got to work on some of these projects where in the beginning phases, we're hallucinating and giving harmful threat type responses that children were seeing. And to being able to like step in, start moderating and monitoring those type of things, I know that we're just one company. I know there's tons of companies who are on the same mission that we are to create a more safer environment for what AI is to come.
I loved your CEO, I have to say. It feels like it's a good person to work with, because I feel like it's not easy to work mostly with a CEO that close, like someone who really get into the problem with you, not just, okay, I'm just here, I'm the leader, I say, what is the strategy here, what is the vision, and then I just talk with the higher level people, right? Because I think that, unfortunately, there's still a lot of companies like that, right? Like, they don't know actually what's going on for real, because they see things, they see the problem, but since they're not there, you cannot understand something that you are not doing sometimes, even though that you've got a lot of leadership, a lot of experience, you cannot. Stephanie, do you have any recommendation or advice that you would give to people, professionals starting their career in AI? Because I think it is already a career called AI. I don't know if it is, but it should be. So you yourself as you've been a leader for so many years and have such so much experience. So what is the recommendation or advice that you would give to these young professionals, leaders starting their career?
My biggest advice is always be a student. So that is something that I instill in myself, because otherwise you're never going to keep up with this industry. But I think it is to be at the top of your game in this industry and really have a differentiator in servicing, and whether you're starting up, also identify your purpose. Like, what are you working for? I have a family. I'm working for my family, but I'm working for a more responsible AI world. I want to feel safe with every AI-infused application, with anything that is used. And I know that specifically we are all hands on deck, and most of the companies that I'm working with are all hands on deck to serve that purpose as well. I also am going to promote this and plug this, get into communities. Like I mentioned, AI Circle is a community that I got into. It's a network of AI leaders and professionals. I also seek mentorship. So this is something, as a younger professional, I never did, because I thought it was like embarrassing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. But now getting to this space, I have a number of counterparts in this space that I can bounce ideas off of and do like a self-check as we are doing a lot of things in go-to-market, and as we are implementing new divisions, new things, new hires, what kind of roles are we now looking at? And I do a lot of peer network. Hey, does this role make sense in your organization? This is what I think I need, type thing. So there's been a lot of great advice in problem solving from a peer network standpoint as well. But never stop learning.
Oh, I love it, Stephanie. Thank you. Thank you very much.
More great insights.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate your words. I think that every day is, that's actually a quote, every day is a school day, I think, is something like that. So I really kind of feel like that as well. Okay, Stephanie, thank you very much for your time, for joining to the Humans and AI podcast. I appreciated your conversation. It was very interesting. Thank you.
Yes, no, thank you so much. And we'll be in touch.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.